I'm Phil Coram, and I'd like to extend my welcome to you all, whether you're new, a visitor, or a regular. This is our final part in our series on prayer. It's called How. We'll be looking at the Lord's Prayer as our guide on how to pray. We've learned over the course of the last few weeks about when to pray, where to pray, what to pray, why pray at all, and last week it was who are we actually praying to? So it's all very well knowing about all this, but how do we actually pray? What we'll be doing is we'll be looking at the Lord's Prayer. So let's pray that to begin with. Let's start with the traditional version. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And here's a more contemporary version. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let's begin by thinking about some amazing facts that you may not know about the Lord's Prayer. Firstly, it's not original. There's an ancient Jewish prayer that many Jews still use today that goes like this. Exalted and hallowed be his great name in this world, which he created according to his will. May God's kingdom be established in your lifetime and in the lives of all Israel, speedily and imminently. Praised be his great name from eternity to eternity. We extol, glorify, honour, and adore the name of the Holy Blessed One, to which we say, Amen. So it's not exactly the same, and there are many similarities. Jesus and his disciples would have been familiar with this Jewish prayer, just as Jews are familiar with it today. There are significant differences, and we'll look at those a bit later on. Secondly, there are two versions of the Lord's Prayer in the Bible. One in Matthew's Gospel, which was part of Jesus' teaching on prayer, and one in Luke's Gospel, where Jesus replies to a specific question on prayer asked by one of his disciples. Let's have a read of those two different versions. Firstly, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus says, "This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And the version in Luke chapter 11 says this. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." The third amazing fact about the Lord's Prayer is that it isn't actually a prayer, really. It's more like a template on how to pray. That's why Jesus changes some of the words he used when he was replying to a disciple's question than the one he used in his sermon on prayer. Many theologians believe the actual Lord's Prayer can be found in John chapter 17, where Jesus prays for his believers in the Garden of Gethsemane. The fourth amazing fact about the Lord's Prayer is the one we learnt is probably not the one that's in the Bible. I mean, there's no problem with that because, as I've just said, it's really a template for prayer. The version that we prayed right at the beginning of this talk is actually more like William Tyndale's version from 1525. You may not know this, but the Lord's Prayer wasn't actually in Greek, but in Aramaic. Jesus was a Jew and he spoke Aramaic, not Greek or English. So let's delve into the Lord's Prayer and find out how it actually helps us to pray. Firstly, it's personal. Our Father. There is no other religion that has this intimacy. This is one of the main differences between the Jewish prayer and Jesus' new version. We pray to our Father. This is Jesus' favourite way to address God, Father. In fact, Jesus addresses God as Father 165 times across the four Gospels, compared to God being mentioned as Father just 15 times in the entire Old Testament. Andy talked about that. Last week. What he's doing is he's affirming that the nature of our prayer is a relationship with God, one of a child and a loving father, not a far-off, distant God, but a loving God who is a loving father to each one of us. But it's not my father or even father or just God, it's our Father. Our denotes a collective relationship between a community of believers. That's why it's so important to be part of a church community. The very first word of this prayer means that we come together as the family of God. It's impossible to pray the Lord's Prayer without being in a church community because the very first words wouldn't make sense. It's a collective possessive pronoun. There's intimacy, but there's also an acknowledgement that we are talking not to an earthly father, but to a heavenly father. It's our Father in heaven. Hallowed be his name. Tony Blair talks about the strange relationship he had with the late Queen when he was Prime Minister. Each week he would have an audience with the Queen at Buckingham Palace, and it's all very formal. But he was also invited to Balmoral for the Royal Family annual weekend barbecue. The Queen was wearing jeans and serving drinks, and Prince Philip was in charge of the barbecue. Tony Blair tried to offer help, but he was just told to enjoy being served. And then members of the Royal Family would put on marigold gloves, stacked up the plates, while the Queen did the washing up. There was the informality of the occasion, which he found confusing, as she was still Queen, whether she was pouring out tea in jeans or on a throne with a crown on her head. The actual words he used were a vivid combination of the intriguing, the surreal, and the utterly freaky. Yes, we have an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, but we also must remember that we are talking to God, the Creator of the universe. Hence the phrase, Hallowed be your name. The next part of the Lord's Prayer is to do with God's reign. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. So what is this kingdom that we are praying to arrive? Well, a kingdom is where a king or queen reigns. So the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland is where a king reigns, King Charles III. The kingdom of God is where God reigns. So we cannot bring a kingdom, we cannot bring about a kingdom by a general election, or education, or by doing good works, or recycling, or being kind. This is where we must not be confused. Yes, kingdom values should infiltrate our politics. Kingdom living should make a difference in our communities. But let us not misunderstand the nature of the kingdom. The kingdom does not advance when you get a new government or when you remember to recycle your cardboard, or you're just being a nice person. Those may be important things, and they do reflect certain values in the kingdom. But a kingdom is only a kingdom when there's a king. The kingdom of God comes when and where the king is known, when Jesus is loved and worshipped and believed upon, where the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. We are praying for God to rule in our lives and in the lives of others and in our nation and in our nations around the world. The next part of the Lord's Prayer is asking God to help us. Give us today our daily bread. Give us the basic needs of the day. Even 2,000 years later, we still use the term breadwinner, the person who supplies our needs in our family. Provide us with the things we need to get through the day, not just our wants and desires. So this is part of the prayer where we ask God to supply our needs. It teaches us to come to God in a spirit of humble dependence, asking him to provide what we need and to sustain us from day to day. We're not given license to ask for great riches, but we are encouraged to make our needs known to him, trusting that he will provide. But bread has a spiritual significance too. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And in Exodus 16, verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they follow my instructions. So we are asking God not just to supply us with our basic needs, but with our spiritual needs too. It could be faith or wisdom, going the extra mile, commitment, patience, peace. We ask whatever it is that we need to face the day as a disciple of Jesus. The next thing is yield. Forgive our debts as we have already forgiven our debtors. Jesus uses the word debt in one version, sin in another. It doesn't really matter what word we use. What we're talking about here is wrongdoing. Remember, the Lord's Prayer is a template, so we can use what wrongdoing we like in our prayer. Somebody has trespassed against us, sinned against us, done something wrong, insulted us, crossed a line, hurt our feelings. The list is endless. Jesus was very clear. How can we ask God to forgive us our wrongdoing if we are not going to forgive others? Some of you right now may be thinking this is very difficult, so why not let's pray about this right now? Loving Heavenly Father, we come to you with our prayers about forgiveness. We want to remember how much you have forgiven us. We ask you for your guidance and strength to help us forgive. We pray that we may be able to understand other people's viewpoint and the reasons behind their actions. We pray that we may let go of resentment. We realize that holding on to anger and resentment harms us more than it does other people. We acknowledge our own imperfections. We recognize that we all make mistakes. And if possible, we ask that we may be able to do some sort of reconciliation, communicating with the person that has wronged us. We pray that we may practice empathy, putting ourselves into other people's shoes, understanding their struggles and motivations. We pray that we remember the words in the Bible, things like be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave us. We pray that we may not dwell on past hurts, but that we may focus on the present and the future. And we pray that we may seek support, talking this over with a friend or a mentor or spiritual advisor to help us in our struggles to forgive. Help us, Lord, to forgive others, just as you have forgiven us. Amen. The next part of the Lord's Prayer is, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Temptation is an enticement to sin or stray away from God's will, and there are many examples in the Bible, from Adam and Eve, David and Bathsheba, Jesus in the wilderness. And there are many everyday temptations: greed, pride, lust and dishonesty. I mean, we could go on. This is what Jesus' little brother has to say on the subject. His name is James, and he says this in James chapter 1, verse 13. "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." So God doesn't really lead us into temptation, but he does allow things to happen to us as a way of increasing our faith and developing our character. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says this: "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation that comes your way is beyond what others have had to face. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." So we are encouraged to pray and lean on God to help us resist temptation. So what's the problem? One word: evil. There is certainly a great deal of anxiety about our evil times. And while I'm reluctant to believe that these are any worse than ever before, I do concede that they are troubling times. We hear also often of the evils in our world: shootings, war, disasters, environmental catastrophes, moral failures, dysfunctional families, abuses of the weak by the powerful, and suicide becoming the leading cause of death for young people. And not wanting to sound too gloomy, but it's not just the world around us, it's inside us too. We wrestle with the gap between the people we ought to be and the people we are. Whether it's habitual, compulsive or destructive behaviour which we cannot seem to free ourselves from, or whether there is a more subtle discontent over our failure to be the ideal person we want to be, the super spouse, the fantastic parent. We all wrestle with feelings of guilt, shame, and regret. And it's easy to despair over a sense of helplessness to these evils. We feel at the mercy of these broader forces at work in our world. We feel at the mercy of our bad habits and failures. So we can resign ourselves to despair. Or we can say, this is not how it is meant to be. It can be different. We can be confident God has not abandoned us to evil. While we cannot avoid it, we are not at its mercy. God has promised deliverance, and in the Gospels we find reason for hope and resources to overcome. It says in the Bible, "The Lord will rescue us from every evil deed and bring us safely into his heavenly kingdom." And the final part of the Lord's Prayer is to wrap it up with a prayer of praise. The technical term for this is doxology, meaning ending a prayer or a song with a short praise to God. One of people's favourites is written 2,400 years ago, and it's from 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11, and it says this: "Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the majesty and the splendour, for in everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Amen." So let's just quickly recap about the parts of the Lord's Prayer, and they conveniently spell prayer: P-R-A-Y-E-R. P, personal. It's a personal prayer to God our Father. R, reign. We want to see God's reign in our lives and in our world. A, ask. We ask God for the things we need, not the things we want. Y, yield. We forgive others, just as God has forgiven us. E, evil. We ask God to rescue us from the evil in this world. And P, praise. We praise God for who he is and what he has done. A straightforward but profoundly significant way to pray, as taught by Jesus and explored further in Pete Gregg's book, How to Pray, which is available from the church library. So finally, let us use that template to pray right now. Our Father in heaven, creator of the universe and sustainer of all life, may your name be honoured above all names. You are holy, righteous, and full of grace. We stand in awe of your majesty and power, acknowledging your infinite wisdom and unending love. Teach us to live in a way that brings glory to your name, reflecting your goodness and compassion in all that we do. May our words and actions honour you, and may our lives be a testament to your mercy and truth. Help us to remember your greatness daily, and may we keep your name sacred in our hearts and minds. May your kingdom come, and your reign of peace, justice, and love be established on earth. Transform our hearts and minds, Lord, so that we may live according to your will and purpose. Guide us in our daily lives to seek your kingdom above all else, to promote your values and compassion and kindness, and work towards a world where your love is evident in every action and decision. Help us to surrender our own desires and plans, submitting to your greater wisdom and perfect will. May your plans be fulfilled in our lives, in our communities, and across the nation. Give us the courage to stand up for what is right, to advocate for those in need, and to be instruments of your peace and grace. May your will be done through us and around us as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your constant provision for the food we eat, the water we drink, and the shelter over our heads. Provide for us today, Lord, what we need to sustain our bodies and souls. Help us to trust in you for our needs, recognizing that every good and perfect gift comes from you. Meet the physical needs of those who are hungry, thirsty, and without shelter, and use us as instruments of your compassion to help provide for them. Nourish our spirits with your word and presence so that we may grow closer to you each day. Grant us the strength and wisdom to face the challenges ahead and the grace to be content with what you provide. Help us to be grateful for your blessings and to share generously with others out of the abundance you give us. Teach us to rely not on our own understanding or resources, but on your faithful provision and loving care. We also acknowledge our mistakes. We do things that aren't right and sometimes hurt others. Please forgive us for those things and help us to do better. Just as we ask for your forgiveness, help us to forgive those who hurt us. Give us kind hearts to let go of anger and grudges, and to show the same mercy to others as you show to us. Help us to say sorry when we hurt someone and to make things right when we can. Teach us to be kind and understanding and to live in peace with everyone around us. May we live in the freedom that comes from a forgiving heart. Guide our steps each day. Help us to make good choices and avoid things that can lead us astray. Give us the strength to resist the things that tempt us and keep our hearts and minds focused on what is right. Protect us, our family and our friends from harm and keep us all safe. When we face difficult situations or choices, help us to stay strong and trust in you. Give us wisdom to see what is good and what is not, and courage to turn away from wrong. Keep us away from situations that might cause us to stumble and surround us with your love and care. Help us to rely on your strength and not our own, and remind us that you are always with us. Guide us each day to live in a way that pleases you and keep us safe from anything that can hurt us. For yours, Lord, is the kingdom, the power, the glory, the majesty, the dominion, the wisdom, the honour and the praise, the source of all goodness, truth, love, justice, mercy, grace, compassion, forgiveness. With strength unshakable, presence eternal, creator of all things, sustainer of life, light in our darkness, hope in our despair, we worship you for your holiness, your righteousness, your faithfulness, and your unchanging nature. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was and is to come. To you be all glory, honour and praise in our church, in our families, in our friends, in our neighbourhood, in our town, in our country, and in our world. Amen.